This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know that one friend who somehow knows everything about money? Yeah, now imagine they live in your phone. Say hey to Experian, your big financial friend. It's the app that helps you check your FICO score, find ways to save, and basically feel like a financial genius. And guess what? It's totally free. So go on, download the Experian app. Trust me, having a BFF like this is a total game changer.
Joining us now is General H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor for Donald Trump's first administration, Hoover Institute Senior Fellow, and author of At War With Ourselves, My Tour of Duty in the Trump White House. Now it might be different now. General, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. Great to be with you.
All right. First off, let me give you an idea. There's so many different things happening right now. There's just a report out that it looks like we're going to stop sending Patriot missiles over to Ukraine because we're running low, along with certain artillery. I find that an excuse not to arm the Ukrainians. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, Brian. You know, there are certain people, you know, who are in the president's ear, like trying to tell him that, hey, you know, this is Europe's thing, you know, and we don't really have a stake in this. But hey, Brian, you know what they're missing is the connection between Vladimir Putin and the other leaders of the Axis of Evils. You know why they need those Patriots and other capabilities? Because, you know, North Korea has given them 8 million artillery rounds to the Russians. They fought alongside them. The Iranians gave them these Shahed drones, which Moscow has now modified, and they're targeting, you know, apartment buildings and hospitals and schools in Ukraine. And guess who's underwriting the whole effort? China. And so a lot of the people are making this kind of prioritizing argument that, hey, this is Europe's thing. We have to focus on China. It's all interconnected, Brian. And, you know, and the Ukrainians are demonstrating tremendous valor and fighting in our interest against this axis of aggressors.
You know, it looks to be the Undersecretary of Defense, Elbridge Colby, who you might be familiar with. He, like other people, totally against our involvement with the Ukraine war. I don't understand, think they see the big picture like you just mentioned. That's just a small portion of it. And now all of a sudden he realizes and Jennifer Griffin's reporting, we have frozen shipments of critical weapons to Ukraine, including Patriot interceptors in 155 millimeter shells. At a pivotal time because they say we are running low. Do we need Patriots at this moment? And is it possible that we could protect ourselves with the Patriots that you think we have?
Absolutely, Brian. There's been some really good work on this. If you go to the Foundation of Defense of Democracy, they go through every critical weapon system and show, what's in stock and what needs to happen to ramp up production. It is true that our defense industrial base is atrophied, and that's one of President Trump's priorities. But we can do this, you know, and we have co-production with some countries. For example, in Japan, they produce some of these Patriot weapon systems. They've just approved that they can export to Taiwan some of these systems. So, hey, it's like an all hands on deck moment, you know. Hey, we used to be the arsenal democracy. Remember that in World War II? You know, hey, let's be Americans, not Americans, Brian. You know, we can do this.
So the North Koreans are bringing, I think, up to 30,000 more troops over. I mean, they're basically all coming back in caskets. As you see, the North Korean leader seeing the caskets come back. Now they're getting experience fighting. Their word is they are improving. But the Russians are losing to 300 to 400 a day. Can you imagine this? If America was losing 300 guys a day?
Yeah, Brian, this is Putin's ruse, right? He's trying to look strong. He's throwing it all in right now because he thinks we don't have the will to support Ukraine. And he thinks that's going to affect Ukraine psychologically. And now is his moment. So, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, they're taking 30,000, 40,000 casualties a month. And by the way, Putin is really in a in a hurt in terms of his economic situation, right? He's sitting on top of piles of cash he can't convert. You know, he's spending about 49% of his budget on defense is not sustainable. Hey, oil prices are going down, so he's not pulling enough, as much out of the ATM as he's been able to pull. And you know, I think now's the time to be in a position of strength. And by the way, Putin has, you know, really disrespected President Trump the whole time, you know, and thinks he can play him. I don't think he can play Donald Trump. You saw what happened, you know, with the Iranians. He gave him 60 days, right? And they went to 61 and he acted. Remember what with Kim Jong-un? Kim Jong-un thought he could get everything he wanted from Donald Trump in the Hanoi summit in Trump's first administration. And Donald Trump walked out. So I think President Trump is going to come to the conclusion it's time to put more pressure on Putin. And that includes sustaining support for the Ukrainians.
Lindsey Graham thinks the president's close to allowing that Senate bill, which was, I think, got over 80 votes, to go in to put additional sanctions on Putin. And he could use that as leverage and say, guys, I'm just going to sign this. This is the Senate. They're going to put additional sanctions on him. Some just roll their eyes when I say sanctions. Are you one of them?
No, I'm not. Because, you know, in fact, we did a study here at the Hoover Institution that I recommend on sanctions. What effect of sanctions? I'll send you the link to that, Brian. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's really how they're implemented and how power. What President Trump showed is, hey, on Iran, it's not military force or diplomacy or military force or sanctions. It's how you integrate all those elements of national power. That's what needs to happen in all elements of foreign policy. Sanctions are a part of the answer. They're not the answer.
All right, let's talk about Iran. I haven't talked to you about the operation. You must have known this operation existed and the capabilities that our B-2 bombers had and the bunker busters were revealed to have. Your thoughts about the operation when you left it and how it was executed when you saw it?
Hey, it was executed brilliantly. You know, I mean, this I'd love to see, obviously, the professionalism, the courage of our armed forces. And also, you know, you've got to also give credit to the Israelis for what they did to dismantle the air defense system and then to go after the nuclear supply chain, to also go after the missile capabilities and to go after some of the leadership, you know, the critical leadership within the IRGC, as well as the scientists and so forth. But, you know, I'll tell you, I think that was an important message to our adversaries. I mean, who else can fly a 37-hour round trip and put 30,000-pound bombs down ventilation shafts, you know, and to do that as part of an overall strike package that included, you know, submarine-launched cruise missiles. So it was a fantastic display of American military prowess, and it was a righteous mission, Brian. I mean, you got to look at the nature of the Iranian regime, right? What they say. They call us the Great Satan. They've killed, you know, thousands of Americans over the years through their proxies. They want to destroy Israel and wipe them off the map. Hey, I mean, you can't let Ayatollah Khamenei get the most destructive weapons on Earth.
Rated T for teen.
Each year, thousands of adults lose their shred. It's an epidemic simply known as shred loss. But it doesn't have to be this way. Because rekindling your shred is as easy as playing the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. With new parks, cross-platform multiplayer, and sick new game modes, we can put an end to shred loss everywhere. Get the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 and show the world that the shred's not dead. Pre-order Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 and play the Foundry demo.
Living with schizophrenia isn't easy, especially when you're not getting relief from some of your symptoms. It can be hard when you're still dealing with symptoms, like hearing voices or seeing things that aren't there. And negative symptoms, like feeling unmotivated or avoiding social situations. If this sounds familiar, it might be time to talk to your healthcare provider and explore a different kind of schizophrenia treatment. Discover your possibilities at treatingscz.com.
What do we find out about their defensive ability, their offensive ability, and their vulnerability?
Well, you know, they've always been weak, Brian, you know, but they act strong because we never act like we know what the return address is. And, you know, I wrote this essay recently about the folly of de-escalation, and Donald Trump ended it. You know, what you always heard from multiple U.S. administrations, all of them maybe except Donald Trump's, his first one and his second one, that every time Iran attacks us, we're like, oh, we have to de-escalate. Well, you know what that did, Brian? It gave Iran the ability to escalate on their own terms with impunity. Donald Trump broke that trend, you know, when he killed Qasem Soleimani in January of 2020. And again, with this strike. He showed that he's willing to act directly against the regime.
I want you to hear what the Iranian ambassador to the UN said on Sunday. Cut 42.
Our peaceful nuclear activity will remain always in peaceful manner. So the enrichment is our right, an inalienable right, and we want to implement this right.
So you do plan to restart enrichment, that sounds like.
I think that enrichment will not never stop.
So if they start, and they're at 4-0 now, trying to see how bad the damage is, and I imagine it being significant, do you think that the Israelis are just going to bomb it away as they start to make some progress?
Yes. Yes, I do. And so this is why, you know, Iran's got to make a decision, you know? I mean, do you take the risk of restarting the program? You know, it's material intensive. And when you know that Israel and probably the United States will strike it again. And of course, Brian, you know, they could strike it, you know, with their Air Force as they have, but they could also go after them with clandestine capabilities. You saw an astonishing range of capabilities that included intelligence and direct action, covert operations, as well as these airstrikes.
So right now we might go, I guess, talking to them again. We'll see what happens. But now there's pressure, and I think it's I think they're on the same page. There's a push now to de-escalate in Gaza. And they said the ceasefire is on the table. Essentially, they've wiped out all the leadership, including one of the founders of Hamas. But Hamas is still in Gaza. We've got to get the hostages out. Hamas has got this deal, the details of which I guess the U.S. side and the Israelis have. What do you think is going to happen there? What would you like to see happen there?
Well, what I'd like to see is Hamas give up all the hostages now, right? The ones who are living and the ones who they killed.
In exchange for prisoners?
I don't know what the outline of the deal would be. That would be up, I think, to the Israelis to decide, you know, but you got to get the people out of there. You know, right now the IDF is controlling, has kind of loose control over about 75% of Gaza. It's the remaining 25%, probably where those hostages are, and probably where there are a significant number still of Hamas terrorists. But you know what, Brian, when you look at this long term too, near-term objective, get the hostages back. Long-term is you've got to destroy Hamas. I hear people say, oh, well, you can't kill an idea. Hey, as long as Hamas has the guns in Gaza, nothing good can happen for the Palestinian people in Gaza. So what you need, first of all, to have a relief valve so some of the Palestinians can get the hell out of there into a humanitarian facility, maybe in the Sinai temporarily. The next thing you need to do is destroy Hamas and get a peace enforcement force in there that can prevent them from coming back. Because until you do that, you know, nobody's going to be the mayor of Gaza, Brian. You're going to get a bullet in the head. And you can't have Hamas in charge because, you know what, they're dedicated to the destruction of Israel. It is so hypocritical when I hear people say, well, we have to get back on a path to a two-state solution and we need to stop fighting against Hamas. Hey, Hamas has to go as a precondition for getting on the path to any kind of an enduring peace between the Israelis and Israel and the Palestinians.
General, it must be surreal to you to see these signs in Syria that say, thank you, President Trump. And you have a leader, the president shook his hand and talked to him. I know you know he's a terrorist. He was a terrorist. He said he changed his ways. How do you feel about President Trump's bold move and somewhat of a risk to say, welcome aboard, we're lifting the sanctions?
Yeah, it's a risk, Brian, you know, but you know, the alternative would be to not have any influence or not have much influence maybe after what happens next in Syria. You know, Syria shattered during the civil war like a light bulb. And so that society's got to be kind of put back together. And it can only be put that back together if they end the sectarian civil war within that country. You know, us having leverage over al-Shar, you know, I mean, the leverage we have along with the especially the Saudis and the Emiratis, and to agree the gutteries because we have to kind of pull them into this, is just to not write checks. Don't write checks to them to rebuild. And so what that should be is, hey, al-Shara, you need a pluralistic government, right? You need to ensure that these minority populations, like we just saw the Christians mass murdered, like we saw Druze mass murdered, are protected, and that you get to some kind of a political process that's going to give all Syrians a say in how they're governed over the next couple of years. But what we don't want to see is another theocratic dictatorship in there or a caliphate, right? That's right. Going to consolidate gains and then try to export, you know, a kind of this, uh, you know, this, this, uh, radical Islamist ideology.
You could argue, General, that the president, that Russia had taken their eye off the ball in Syria, taken assets out of there, allowed for these rebels to go back and take back the country. So Assad had to run for his life. So as they've had to focus on the Ukraine, there goes the ripple effect, and Iran loses a passageway for arms, and they lose an ally real quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is really an important dimension of it. And Russia now is trying to double down on its so-called Africa Corps in North Africa and also move into eastern Libya. I think we ought to help people contest that. The other thing is, too, it's important to remember, you know, Assad collapsed because Israel kicked the hell out of Hezbollah. And Assad was, you know, really even more reliant on Hezbollah and an Iranian proxy army than he was on the Russians.
General, we have to do a whole tutorial and do 4 hours on this. There's so many moving parts, and it's always great to talk to you about it. So, General H.R. McMaster, thank you.
Hey, Brian, great to be with you.
It is time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.